And again, Isaiah says, there shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall arise to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, whenever we do something intentionally, we have a purpose in mind. Sometimes more than one purpose. For example, you might get into your car and you're thinking, I'm going to stop at the bank, I have to stop at do some grocery shopping, I have to stop at the hardware store. So you had a purpose in mind. You wouldn't be doing it, in other words, if you didn't have a purpose, if you hadn't formulated an intention. So this is what makes us move throughout our daily lives. We have purposes in mind. Now, those are the more proximate intentions or purposes. You have a more general intention or purpose. I have to support the family. This is for, you know, to make the family life work. So that's on a higher or more broader level, but it's motivating you. And what really should be our ultimate purpose is to love God and save our souls. That's why I'm doing things. That's why I do what I do. That's why we're in church today. We had a purpose in mind. Otherwise, we would have never come through those two doors. So as human beings, you can see that we are driven by purpose. We have intentions. We have purposes to fulfill. So the question I put before you is, what was the purpose that God had in mind in becoming man, in coming down to be that little baby? God absolutely works by intentions and purposes. He has things in mind whenever he does anything. So let's examine the purposes. This is something to reflect on as we prepare during Advent for Christmas. What's the purpose of Christmas? Why did it happen the first time 2,000 years ago? The first reason, the first purpose God became man is to save us. We must never forget that we were a fallen human race. Adam and Eve had already been promised heaven, and they were given special gifts, but they renounced that. They turned their backs on God, and because they did it, it would affect every single member of the human race, every single one of the billions of progeny that they would have. So if God had not come down to save us, then nobody would have gone to heaven. Think about that. Nobody would have gone to heaven, and many more people would have gone to hell. And those that lived a good life, they would go to a place of some kind of natural happiness, or I believe, you can only go to hell if you commit mortal sin and are unrepentant of it. But the point is, we were in a horrible condition. We had fallen down, and we could not pick ourselves up by ourselves. So this is why he became man. Yes, he could have had an angel redeem us, but he chose to do it the most fitting way possible. He himself would come down from heaven. So that is the number one purpose why there is a Christmas, why there is an Easter. Because he came to reconcile us with God. He came to save us. That alone should give us overwhelming gratitude. And think about this too. He also came to die. He was born as a baby specifically to undergo a horrible death, full of torments, because he was going to pay the full price of redeeming us. Another reason why God became man is so that we might know God's love. Already in the Old Testament, they were commanded, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, mind, soul, and strength." And remember, justice was predominant in the old law. How do you love somebody that you're so afraid of being punished by? You still had to do it, of course. And people could know even then that God was infinitely loving and infinitely merciful, but they so often saw his justice. But when you see him as a little helpless baby in the manger, do you see how powerful that is in charming us into loving him? And he would grow up to be a child, a lovable child, and then into a young man, and then a full-grown man. And the man who went about doing good, but he preached the truth, and that brought upon him many enemies. But the truth had to be preached. So that's the second reason, that we might know God's love. Another reason, and these are not now necessarily in order of importance, but they are reasons. He became a model for our holiness. When we look at Christ, we see somebody that we're supposed to become more like unto. Now, how hard is it to imitate God before the incarnation? How do you imitate the infinite goodness of God? And, of course, Jesus is still God and man, but now he comes upon earth, and we read about him in the gospel. We see detailed descriptions about how he was born, how he lived, how he acted, how he suffered, how he died. And we can, in our own smaller way now, copy that example. So he became literally a model and an example for us. Another reason he became man is to make us partakers of the divine nature. In other words, he came to give back to us that life of grace that had been forfeited by Adam and Eve. And remember, that was the most important gift Adam and Eve had. Now, wouldn't we like to also have immortality such as Adam and Eve had? Perfect control of our nature, no struggle between soul and body. Wouldn't we love that? Wouldn't we love to have infused knowledge? Yes, that would mean a lot less school. I'm sure that resonates with the students. Wouldn't we love to have those? But none of those gifts were as good and as great as being adopted by God. That adoption was lost. And now Jesus came back to give us divine adoption. And you all know when that takes place, when you were baptized, God adopted you. And you will not lose that unless you commit mortal sin. That's the great evil of it. We lose our divine adoption, which Christ came to give to us. One more reason, and there are more that can be added, why God became man: to give us a church. What does the church do for us? It provides for us a guide and a help for salvation. The church gives us many blessings. And again, our Lord gave them to us, but the church safeguards them and gives them to us, such as the Mass, the sacraments, teachings, blessings, sacramentals. These are all the things that come to us through the church. And I hope this helps us to understand how great that sin of false ecumenism is that says, let's respect all religions. What's the great sin of saying that? Now, I didn't say we shouldn't respect people. Yes, we should always do that. But why is it a sin to say, and this we hear this coming from the modern Vatican, all religions are to be upheld, respected, and acknowledged? What is the great sin of that? That is an absolute denial of the church that Jesus founded. And it says all of the man-made religions are to be regarded as well as your own, Jesus. Do you not see the insult that gives to God? So it's not out of pride at all. It should be only out of humility, but out of faith that we cling to that one church founded by Christ, not a man-made religion. But unfortunately, and I know I've said this before, but we need to be aware of this. Already in Vatican II, in the mid-60s, they already taught that poisonous doctrine by saying that all these religions, God uses these other religions, he's talking about the non-Christian, the Protestant religions, as means of salvation. No, they're not able to be that. Jesus gave us his church at the price of his blood. He died so that there could be this church here on earth. So let us cling to this church. Let us share our faith with others. So as we go going through this Advent season, I just wanted to review this list with you of reasons why it all happened. And for this, we cannot be grateful enough. So let us use this as motivation as we prepare for the great feast of Christmas, when we see God incarnate, born as a little baby, and babies are so charming and so lovable. Yes, they also make lots of noise and others, we understand that, but we all did when we were little babies, but God chose to become a baby too. So he came to save us. He came to show us his love. May we respond with greater faith and love and humility ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.